Hello, this is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, we're going to be talking about Across the Spider-Verse. I have two guests with me, so I'll allow them to introduce themselves. Keese, you can go first.
Hi, everybody. Name's Marquise. Artistic Insanity on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I'm an animator, 2D animator specifically. And yeah, I just want to chop it up a little bit about the movie, just like everybody else.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alexis. I'm into interior design and experiential and exhibition design as well, but also here to talk about Spider-Verse, because Spider-Man's great.
Spider-Man's awesome. So, Keese, you had your first question to get the conversation started.
Yeah, so where do I start? I guess I got to hit it with the general questions, then get specific about the plot points and everything. So, all right. So how do y'all feel about the film as a whole? And like, did y'all know going in that it was a part that was like a two-parter and everything? Do y'all feel like it's an incomplete movie? Because I've been seeing a lot of commentary saying the movie feels incomplete because it's a two-parter and everything. But the whole time I'm just enjoying what I'm seeing on the screen. I'm like, I enjoy it for what it is because I knew going in, because the first promo was part one, part two. Yeah. And so I was like, I just don't agree with the whole incomplete storyline. So how do y'all feel about it overall though?
Alexa, you can go first.
I forgot that it was a two-parter, so going in I was like, oh, this is gonna be great, I'm gonna be satisfied, which I was. And then towards the end I was like, this music sounds like it's gonna cut off, like what's gonna happen here? And then it said to be continued. I was like, gosh darn it, like why is it like this? Even if I didn't know, like, I think it was a good place to stop while watching it. Just time just stopped. So we could have made this a 5-hour movie. Could have been another, like, I don't know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings concept where we're just sitting there for hours, because it's engaging and it draws you in. You're immersed the whole time. So, yeah, I don't agree that, like, it felt incomplete. It's like, it's a safe stopping point. That's what I'll say.
Okay, yeah, so for me, I think I knew it was, like, going to be a third movie, so I didn't really go into the movie with any kind of expectations as far as a button-up of the story, but for me, one thing that was, like, really good was I had this internal meter for, like, how long movies are and when I want them to be over. And just when my internal timer was getting to, like, okay, when is this over? It like ended. I was like, yes, this is the perfect length. Because, like, when it was, they was on the roof, when he, like, met the Prowler, Miles and all this stuff, I'm like, are they about to do, like, some Dark Knight stuff and just belabor this story and keep going? Or are we almost done? Because, like, I love it, but. So, I don't know, just my internal meter be like, alright, this could end here. But it was the perfect length for me. That's what I loved about it the most. And, yeah, I was just excited for it because the first one was so good with all, you know, the graphics and the innovation and the story. So, you know, it's like having that second album as a music artist or, like, any sequel, it usually turns out bad. So, I'm glad that it was, like, still a great movie for me, so I'll just leave the general with that. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, speaking of the ending and everything, it kept feel like it was building the tension, and then it just like, is it going to end here? And I'm like, I was like, it's going to end, and it just kept going and going. I'm like, then I sat back. I'm like, I know it has to end. I'm not rushing it, but y'all keep teasing me on when y'all gonna cut it off. Are y'all, it's like, at first I thought it was gonna cut it off with like you said, I thought it was gonna cut it off with Miles meeting Prowler Miles, like that little back and forth, and it was just gonna cut to black. I was expecting that. I think maybe a little bit before. When Spock came back and everything, I thought it was gonna cut it off there, and I was just like, where are they gonna cut this thing off at? Because I'm like, y'all are teasing me like crazy. Like, yo, I don't want it to end, but I need you to cut it. And then when I saw everybody like coming to the screen, I'm like, that's where they're gonna cut it off. Okay, I was like, all right, cool. But
that does remind me, like, because the second time I watched it, it was like, because I don't like read the comic books or anything, so all these Earth numbers is not in my head like that.
Right.
And so when he was sent home, it flashed Earth 42 for about 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know that that was the wrong Earth, and is it Earth 1601 or something like that?
Yeah, 1610 or something. 10,
yeah.
So if you didn't know that was the wrong Earth or you didn't see that flash, you just was like surprised. Like, I don't know what percent of people were surprised, but
I definitely was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't notice. Oh no, continue, sorry.
Yeah, but it did tell you that he was going to the wrong Earth, but if you couldn't put the clues together, then you just was like, oh, he's at the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. From the first time I saw it, I missed like the beginning and the opening credits. Well, sort of came in with like Gwen doing whatever she was doing. So I didn't see in the opening where they kept flashing 42 everywhere. And then when we got to Miles, they flashed his Earth one time. So it's like, you don't remember that his is not 42. You're just seeing 42 the whole time. So then when later, when they show he's going to 42, it's like, oh, okay, he's going back home. It's like, no, just kidding. He's not.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, oh, Uncle Aaron.
I've had what we would consider like I'm not calling them impure thoughts. It's just like, yo, the way Uncle Aaron came in, like me and Alexis had this discussion on the phone. Uncle Aaron really did come in on some stepdad energy the way he walked in that house. And I was like, in a way, he just dropped a brick of money on the table. And I'm just like, I'm not saying he don't have to, but he could be getting with Miles' moms. He just walked in there smooth, like it ain't nothing. And I was just like, what you say with the salt and pepper beard and everything? It was real stepdad energy.
It was stepdaddy, Mac Daddy energy, something.
Yeah, and I was just like, yo, I was like, is Uncle Aaron getting moms? Like, is he getting moms? I don't know. Just like with Hobie and Gwen, it's like, Gwen, you left the toothbrush and you're wearing the shoes and wearing sweaters. I'm like, come on, man, two and two.
I have a lot to say about Gwen, but we can get to her later.
All right, look. All right, get your beef out. Get your beef out with Gwen. Get your beef out. Get your beef out with Gwen.
Gwen is the villain here, okay? Like, outside of Miguel acting like a child, it's really Gwen. Gwen and our Peter. Daddy Peter. I'm going to call him Daddy Peter because he's a father. Or Father Peter, let's call him Father Peter. they're a joke. Like, y'all are not his friends. Gwen was acting.
Did you see the article where they talk about how, they were like the white ally play out?
Yes.
Versus the black people who Hobie and
everybody's
Spider Girl.
Yeah, yes. Everybody's latching on to that, and I'm looking at them like us as black people, we that's how we will see that. We'll just like, we'll see it as the movie plot as itself, but we also will catch that secondary understanding of just like, because more than likely most of us have ran into that type of situation where when shit hits the fan and we expect certain people to at least let us know that have certain knowledge on things, but they won't. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, I can understand the perspective there too as well.
Because his mom said that, and when I watched it the second time, before she let him off the little water tower thing to go find Gwen, she was telling him that, like, when you leave, she was just talking about, you know, once he goes off to school in Jersey or something. She's like, when you leave, I'm worried that people won't care about you the way that we do or look out for you the way that we do. Outside of her saying that, like, as a parent, like, that's a real life thing. Like, white people don't look out for non-white people the same way that we look for each other. Like, we're all going to look out for each other. It's like Hobie and I forget the girl that was there as an avatar.
Spider Bite.
Yes, she, all three of them, they made a connection instantly just because, but then it was very questionable with Peter B. Parker and Gwen, because, like, y'all supposed to be my friends, but y'all did not look out for me not one time until I confronted y'all, y'all had a conversation without me. Like,
when you lay it out like that, it's just like, yo, that is very dirty and everything, because it's like, you really could have, like, let them know, like, up front, like, hey, the reason why we haven't came to see you and everything, even though we had the capabilities to come and see you, is because X, Y, and Z. We don't know if it's completely true yet, but this is the working theory, and we're not trying to blow up the entire damn multi-universe messing around and whatnot. Like, until we figure it out, this is the reason why. This is the reason why we probably have to keep our distance, blah, blah. They could have just laid it out, but we wouldn't have no movie.
Right.
We wouldn't have no movie. We wouldn't have no plot. We have no drama and whatnot. But we do see the conflict in Gwen, obviously, in the whole thing, because it's like she's wrestling with the fact that I have to possibly let my father die, even though my father wants to arrest me or blame or thinks I killed my best friend or whatever. Like, I got a lot of shit going on, and then I gotta, like, wrestle with that, like, my father thinks I did this, da 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 da, and I gotta possibly let him die. And everything, and then the person that I've connected with ever since my Peter died, the first person I've connected with since my best friend died, possibly boyfriend, that I've finally gotten close with, whatever it is she had with Peter, she felt something with Peter, and she's feeling the same thing with Miles and whatnot, and didn't think she was gonna ever see him again, and all this shit, and it's like all these things are happening, and she's not making the best decision, but she's still trying to work with what she got when it comes to it. Because when you throw all of it in there, it's complicated. It's complicated. Yeah. We've all been in situations where we know different sides of different stories or perspectives, and it's so delicate. We have no way of being blunt and saying the shit that either benefits or just being straight up with the person that we keeping this from. So I understand Gwen, but I also understand the perspective of, like, you could have said something.
I'm not understanding.
Alexis, Gwen, to enter the clip on Gwen.
Just from what you were saying, like, even as a friend, if we're having a similar experience, she could have been like, hey, this stuff is happening. My dad might die. Your dad might die because they're both shares, or something's going to happen. Like, there could have been some form of information to go on. But granted, in the sense of every movie and situation, Sean, if you know the future and you try to stop it, you're going to actually make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm competitive.
Sure. But it's still, forget Gwen, because she she just don't tell him nothing. And then she's trying to play like, oh, Hobie's just a friend. Girl, you like him. And then you're going to pull Miles along knowing he like you. But, like, don't do my man's like that. I was ready to fight.
And then, like, Miles wouldn't even be out all in there if she had followed Jessica Drew's instructions. Now listen to a black woman.
Now listen to your black mama.
She told you not to go see Miles.
Right.
Told you not to go see that boy. Now look at you. Blowing up universes.
Right. But then, see, the crazy thing about this whole movie is all of this happening is still part of Miles' canon. Like, that's when people are talking about Miguel, because he's funny, like, all this stuff happening, like, Miguel, this is my canon. Like, me being here and stopping y'all from doing dumb stuff is part of my canon. So I don't know why you're not seeing this. So unfortunately, all of this has to happen because it's part of Miles' story. But
yeah, along with that, because with the article I read, it was talking about the anomaly thing and the difference between Miguel, when he inserted himself in the world, it was his actions that did that, but Miles would just mind his business and got bit by a spider. So it wasn't his actions that made him be Spider-Man or made him anything. So, like, I feel like, I just don't understand how Spider-Man isn't an anomaly in the same way the other people are anomalies, because he wasn't even supposed to be Spider-Man anyway, but it's been working. And so, is it true? I feel like we gotta wait till the third movie to find out how, well, unless we read the comic books.
But, like, honestly, I think this is his own original story, to be honest with you. But yeah, what you're saying with Miguel's actions after he inserted himself.
Yeah,
because it's like a lot of people are talking like, I don't think that's the full story.
Yeah.
And everything, like, you did something, because Miles over here, he's doing his thing, blah, blah, blah. His universe is not imploding upon itself. Mm-hmm. Now, Miles Morales' universe, now his universe, on the other hand, is a totally different story. Mm-hmm. And everything, but I want to say implode himself, but just, see, like, but it's just his just don't have a Spider-Man, and all of a sudden all the villains just say, "Hey, it's a free fall," mm-hmm. kind of thing. Which, speaking of, I've been seeing some videos or articles, whatever case you want to call it, saying that 42 Miles is a anti-hero. How do y'all feel if that's the way they're gonna go in the next movie? Do you want him to be a villain that kind of gets convinced to not do bad things, or just a straight villain fight, and it's just like, this Miles is just too far gone. We gotta fight him, not kill him or nothing, but just fight him, and then just go back to our own thing and leave Universe 42 alone. Or do you think he's an anti-villain and he's doing criminal things for the betterment? Robin Hood. He's doing Robin Hood. How do y'all feel about that? That possibility.
I can see it.
Same. Like, from the second time watching it, like, when Miles was on top of the roof, he did, like, a 360, and you saw, like, fire and helicopters and all this stuff happening. Like, it's a crime-ridden area, but seeing how he has the influence of his uncle, which is doing whatever, and not, it might not necessarily be bad things, but he still has his mom around, and she's probably that piece of good heart that he has. So he could be an anti-hero, just doing things, again, not in the way a hero would do it. But I don't know if it'll be necessarily him being a villain. I mean, he'll be a villain to Miles, but I don't know if he's, like, actually a bad guy. He's just troubled because of his father. Like,
I mean, the way his eyes was just like, I kill people. Like, he really had no light.
I think it's just dead inside. Well, not, I don't want to say that. But I mean, he's hurt.
I even felt like the uncle was the lynchman and not even like the leader.
Yeah, he was just like, I passed my mantle on to him or some mess like that. Like, I'm too old to be in these streets hopping on rooftops. I give it to my nephew.
But even with that, it didn't even seem like a wise, like, it seemed like he was halfway scared of 42 Miles. Right. So, I don't know.
Because Miles Morales.
Because, you know, his dad is dead, so you think, oh, the uncle stepped in, but it looked like, you know, 42 Miles is directing the uncle. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. But even in the first film, I'm trying to remember correctly, Uncle Aaron as Prowler, was he like, was he just like a thief? Was he a real villain? Like, I don't remember what exactly all he was doing.
He was a henchman to Kingpin. So he was doing villain. He was doing some villain stuff. Like, he was right there when Kingpin killed original Spider-Man. So he ain't exactly a good guy under that. He ain't a good guy with the mask on.
But like, did he kill is the question.
He was literally about to kill Miles multiple times.
He was going
to kill Miles multiple times. If Miles didn't take that mask off, he would have had nothing but a big, you know, but like claw gashes, like a la Black Panther, like all over the place.
Oh, that's a good point. The difference between Miles taking his mask off with his uncle and Gwen taking the mask off with the father. The father, let's see, what was my thoughts? I wrote justice like over family and do it by the book, and like thinking misguided kids need structure and to follow the rules instead of love and care.
Yeah, father did. He did. he didn't like overlook the fact that his daughter was under the mask and immediately was still trying to be like, I still got to bring you in, even though there's no real evidence that Gwen did kill Peter. It's just like, you just saw me over the body, right, grieving over the body. And then when you find out that it was me and you know my relationship with Peter and you still wanted to arrest me, I think that's what the real hurt was there, because it was just like, you now that you know who it is under the mask, you know that was my best friend, possibly boyfriend, and you thought I killed him. Did you?
Jumped to conclusions.
You jumped to conclusions and thought I killed him, not even realizing that he was a freaking monster not even 3 seconds ago. About to kill somebody. Just everything. It was just everything. Everything about that situation was just, it was real messy and whatnot. And I'm glad that they talked it out and everything, even though I feel like that one talk wasn't enough. Cause it's like, that's a different type of hurt when your family is about to like prosecute you on a, like clearly not using their head, like putting two together on some things. It's like, it's not about immediately jumping to defense, but it's also like you was really about to like prosecute me full on everything, not even thinking about it, not even a little bit. And I'm like, that would hurt me. That would hurt me.
I think it was just, I'm sure it was just fear. Like, I sort of feel bad for him. So at the same time, he was working, so he's already in that mindset of it, but then it's like the shock that it's his child, and he had that thought of like, I don't even know who my child is anymore. Like, she could be a killer even though she's telling me she's not, but you know, that fight or flight kind of just kicked in, and he was just like, you look dangerous to me. So, but I think that just happens with a lot of parents, right? She was like, I don't have any webs. He was like, put your hands up. Poor child. Yeah, I just think some parents do feel that once they see something that they never would have thought their child would do or be a situation in, they just start thinking other things. Like, I don't know my child. And they distance themselves from them. So, yeah.
And then there's not that mother there to kind of give the other side of the situation and give that, like, that hand-holding, like, loving, like, thought process. Not that men can't do that, but
yeah,
that particular man.
Yeah.
So another thought I had with Miguel, with him trying to write everything, I feel like he has like this God complex, and then like you are, like he told Miles that you are the original anomaly and you don't belong here. But it's like, but you became an anomaly too, right?
He's not an actual, as they say, he's not like an actual Spider-Man compared to everybody else. So yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like him, somebody pointed out, when the search for Miles, he took Ben Reilly, which would be the one with the blue hoodie. It was all dramatic and all like my backstory. And Spider-Woman, apparently those two, including him, they have some weird things going on with their origins as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So somebody pointed that out, and I was like, that's actually kind of funny how that worked out and everything. But yeah, you got claws, you got vampire teeth, and you got to shoot yourself up. So yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you see more.
Kind of like with Adolf and like looking for blonde hair, blue eyed people, and you ain't got neither. Like what?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how are you the leader of this faction?
he's somehow doing it. He's somehow holding it down. And I'm just hoping that in the third movie, we really do get what was the real cause of it. Because I'm just like, you ain't telling. I was like, that can't be just you just being there.
Right.
It's like, you had to do something. You had to do something. And at the end of the day, Miguel's blaming Miles. What Miles said was true. He was like, that wasn't me. That was the spot. That was Kingpin doing what he was doing. And it just so happened to hit me. Like, I didn't seek this out. So that's another thing that they need to address as well, because it's like you can't just blame somebody that just the situation happened to. As you said, he was minding his business or whatever, and the spider bit him.
Yeah.
And then for the I said Miguel and Jess actually ended up messing up Gwen's canon by having her come with them, because that was made her father no longer be captain.
Now, see, did it mess up, or was that supposed to happen?
I don't know, but they have all these theories, but they're not thinking about their actions in relation to Gwen's storyline.
I agree.
Because you're right, they did kind of either delay it or stop it, because every other Spider-Man had probably got Indian Spider-Man, besides him, his was about to happen. Because I started thinking about it. Everybody that's in the society should have already had their two tragedies. Mm-hmm. Gwen was the only one that didn't have her second one yet. So, and yeah, you're right.
Because everybody keeps saying, like, oh, one person dies. I'm like, it is canon for two people to die. Like, why do y'all keep saying one person to only die?
Everybody thinks it's just Uncle Ben or whatever the case may be, but it's Uncle Ben and apparently a captain. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't even catch that until they pointed it out in the movie, and I was like, wow, that really makes a lot of sense. You got to go through two tragedies. And then they show live-action Spider-Mans and everything. Andrew Garfield, which I still think is one of the better live-action Spider-Mans, and that's a hill I would die on. I don't care. I'm
on that hill with you.
Yeah, because he deserved a third movie. He deserved a third movie.
For sure.
He deserved a third movie. But yeah. But.
So you had started mentioning Spot. So, something I wrote down for him was, like, his insecurities were exacerbated by Miles calling him the villain of the week. And because he lost everything, he has nothing else better to do but become a bigger villain in order to be taken seriously.
I love Spot. Great villain. But I don't understand why he continues to blame Miles. I get it. You decided to work with villains and everything went left, and so your life went left. Don't be mad.
No accountability for people. No accountability.
You did this to yourself. You saw him fighting Kingpin in that area, so you probably knew something was going to blow up, so you shouldn't have been in the facility.
You should have been like black people and said, grab Lisa them and run. Right, exactly.
Don't blame me for throwing a bagel at you. Like, I think he's really holding the grudge for the bagel. I don't think it's anything else. It's the bagel.
And I'm like, you latched on to that. Everything else has happened to you. You made sure you kept that up there. Like, you hit me with a bagel.
Sure, yes. Like, I would be, no, I wouldn't be mad at it. But I love Spot. I think he's a great villain. I also don't read the comics. I just kind of pay attention to what's happening at the time. But I love that he was he's the main villain, but like he's not really active yet. He's just building and saying like, yeah, I'm not going to be the villain of the week. I'm going to be the one that actually ruined your life. You will remember me forever. And then we have our temporary villain, Gwen and Miguel. I think Spot does a good job of representing a lot of the spider men's women's people of like they're doing a lot of stuff to fill a gap that they've lost, Uncle Ben or whoever is that void that they just can't necessarily fill. Like, they're not doing evil things with it, but like right now they're all hurting and they want everyone else to hurt with them, like Spot.
Hurt people.
Exactly.
It's funny that earlier in the movie I wrote down like Miles always joking and then created an arch nemesis out of a normal villain because of him joking with him. And then later in the movie they commented on like, oh, do spider people joke too much? And I was like, oh, I made that assessment. I'm like, is this a normal conversation in this world? Because I don't be full into everything. So is this a normal conversation that they joke too much?
Oh yeah, it is definitely it is literally actually in the movie they even address it with Peter Parker, Peter B. Parker talking to Miguel, and he was like, Spider-Man is supposed to be funny, and you're not, you're the only one that's not funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, they always have quips. So it's like, the thing is, they always say in the spider world or whatever the case may be, comic book world or whatever the case may be, you should be very worried when Spider-Man is not talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
When he stops joking and stops talking, it is literally death sentence time. It's like, you about to get some real blows. He's not holding back on you for this moment.
The other way they addressed it is like, the spider woman in the wheelchair, she was like, spider people use somebody as a crutch.
Like, yeah, she's in a wheelchair, and she and I was like, yeah, it is, that too.
For sure. Because I think I was on Twitter, and people were showing how Miles, I don't want to say all Peters, but Miles was befriending some of the villains just due to his character and some of the comedy he puts off. Because I'm sure a lot of Marvel superheroes don't actually kill people, but I don't think I've ever got a sense of the Spider-Man that I've seen wanting to actually kill people. And it's kind of like trying to bring them back to a human mentality, or like just make them kind of see the light or something like that. So I think, like, I don't see it as joking too much. I just think, like, you know, everybody needs a laugh in the world. Like, yeah, there are a lot of things going on, but like in the midst of all this darkness and stuff, let's get a laugh out or a smile here and there. And I think,
yeah, but he does jokes sometimes tap on people's insecurities, so I know. Not everybody apparently can joke.
Yeah, and apparently it tapped on Spots a little too hard, even though it's all Spots' fault.
Yeah,
right.
Like every time Spot talked about how it's like I created you and you did this to me, and I'm just like, he didn't do that to you directly.
Cause he can't get mad at Kingpin, cause Kingpin gone.
Yeah, Kingpin locked up somewhere and everything. It's like you're taking this very personally, and also it's another thing. Of course, I can't speak on it because I'm not a white sketch board with a bunch of spots that lead to different damn universes and no face. But you got to start, you know, making lemonade with lemon in this situation. I'm like, dude, you have a superpower now. And your superpower is literally portals. That is extremely OP. Like, if he knew, is when he started controlling it and he started getting more confident and stuff, you can see it in Mbatan. He was like, yeah, I'm in the zone. And he was really whooping up on all of them, like, very easily. And I'm just like, you don't even need to use this next, you know, collider or whatever the case may be to become this multiversal threat. When you could just do what you're doing right now and just be chilling out,
yeah,
and whatnot. You know, get whatever money you need to get, which you don't need, because what you need the money for? I don't think you eat.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like literally you're a being. You're a being now. You have no need for substance or anything. You're just bored.
Yeah. And I think everything is his own fault. He took Miles's comment personally, even though, although Miles was joking, he was also serious. Like, as we saw from when he was trying to make it to his dad's party, there was somebody robbing shoes. There was some random roly-poly thing on the train. Like, there are villains of the week. Like, there are just people that are there for no reason doing whatever because why? It's a villain. So, and he thought he was. He's like, hey, you're just another person trying to ruin everybody's day. And he was serious about it. But then Spot was like, you ruined my life again, and now you're making fun of me, so now I hate you even more. Like, it's all on Spot at the end of the day.
In the back and forth between them, it's almost like, okay, you're trying to force yourself as a nemesis, but your banter back and forth seemed like you're pretty chill about it right now.
Right.
Until he kicked himself into his own portal, and then...
And he got mad at himself. He did it to himself. Everything shows Spot has done it to himself, but he's mad at Miles. It's funny.
That's how do y'all feel about the parent dynamic with Miles and his parents and whatnot and everything? Because it's like, I look at it, I'm like, honestly, the fact that you said grounded and you're a black father is kind of making me laugh. I'm like, what's that? I was like, I'm used to, like, you know, either throwing blows or your mama's going to be the one that's getting the whooping or whatever, something like that. But grounded, I'm just like, those words, I've never heard those words.
You're whooping people in 2023 movies?
It's just like, right. When you said grounded, I was like, yeah, y'all definitely suburban. Because I'm like, what is that?
In the first movie, because I know typically there's like this one character who's like, Spider-Man is a menace, but like, was his dad more on that in the first movie? I can't remember, but he seemed pretty chill this movie.
he pretty much looked at Spider-Man as a vigilante, as a person. He's like, yeah, you may be helping, but you are a vigilante. You're not doing it properly, kind of thing. Because at the end of the day, we as an audience, we see them catch the villains and everything and give them to the cops. But we have no idea how the lawyers work behind the scenes. They could be just like, y'all caught him through a vigilante. That don't count. You know, we don't know the legalese mess they could probably use, and then they'd be back out on the street. Villain of the week. I'll see you next week.
Because he's not acting like Gwen's father.
Yeah, Gwen's father he's ACAB, basically. The ACAB.
Miles' dad, like, even when he was talking to him about, like, you remind me of my son, like, I think over time, him as a captain realized that Spider-Man may be young or, like, a teen or something like that. So I think he's like, oh, he's helping, and Miles is more popular in the city now. Like, he can ride the train and be completely fine. So it's like he's not doing anything too bad. But again, we have to get a crane to get a car down or fix this or fix that. So I think like that's also the other issue of why he probably has a small disdain for him, because it's like we have to still pay for the city after all the stuff that you do. But at the same time, I think he's a little easier on him now versus the first movie, because it's been a year and 4 months now. They're kind of used to Spider-Man at this point. So
as an objective party with no skin in the game. that scene cracks me up.
Oh my gosh, someone pointed out the gestures and how like the team did a good job studying just gestures of like even Black cultural movements or just people in general. Yeah, when they brought this down,
and I'm like, felt that was right here.
Exactly.
I felt that.
Yeah, if people watch it again, you see like facial motions and even Gwen, her shoes on the bed, like
stop.
They got people's characters and personalities down like to the T. So it was good. And sorry, it's raining. So you might hear thunder. So I'm sorry again.
A mini tangent. That's why when I was watching Soul, I was like, that's not a Black man, because they did the same great thing where when he was in his own body, he was very Black in his mannerisms. But once he became a cat, he wasn't, his mannerisms wasn't Black no more. So I'm like, that's not a Black man on the screen. That is like a cat.
Everything around him was Black, like the barbershop scene.
Yeah. Like with the mannerisms, I feel like, and that's what I liked about the first movie, because like the opening scene of him singing and not knowing all the words, I'm like, oh, that's really authentic.
Very, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I can't remember what specifically we were talking about, but we were talking about some Black thing, and I was like, that's like, there are certain like Black nuanced storylines that you can sneak, like, I don't think they had to sneak it into this because they're very open to writing about Black stuff, but then like when you're writing with people who maybe won't green light something that's like really Black, I feel like there's still hidden messages that you can hide in there where everybody's like, oh, I deal with that too, but Black people be like, nah, but we dealing with it different, and I see what y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I feel like sometimes you sneak it in, but I don't think the rest of Spider-Verse, they're very open to like actually talking about the things.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's y'all favorite? Speaking on the animation side of things and whatnot. If y'all was to pick, like, as they say, y'all wallpaper scene and everything, what would be y'all wallpaper scene? If y'all can pick a few of them at least.
To be honest, I would have a Mombatan poster.
Mombatan poster. All right.
I think when Spot turned Black, like that whole scene.
Oh, yeah.
When he changed from white to Black, that whole, I don't know, etching, whatever the background and stuff was doing. I like that part a lot.
I like, I'm gonna be honest, I absolutely loved what Miles and Gwen are like spinning throughout the city and everything, and that whole vibe, that whole energy. And then it's like, and that just, that will, I just love that. But it's like, it also leads in with the music and stuff, with the soundtrack. And yes, self-love is really on repeat. I don't have any shame on that and everything. I'm not even a Coi Leray fan at all, but that song is like, it's an earworm to me. It's like, it's just like hearing that song and watching the visuals of them like just swinging and just vibing and just being very chill. It calms the hell out of me. I just feel like I could be, I feel like I could listen to that song and I'm just out in the desert somewhere and you could just see the galaxy, that kind of look, that kind of vibe. That's how I feel when I hear that song. I'm just like, I just feel so chill about things.
Yeah.
And I love, and that's like, the thing is, I can listen to the first movie soundtrack. I feel like I could listen to that more because there seems to be more hits. Mm-hmm. But this particular soundtrack seems to be more of a overall theme slash vibe. And it's kind of making me wonder, like, how the hell are y'all going to top this in the third movie? Because it's like, the first movie, visuals, everything was there. And it's, it was just right with the amount of visuals that was on the screen. But this movie, not even the credits let me know. I was like, if anybody got any type of syndrome that's dealing with their eyes, it's going to give them a seizure. Mm-hmm. They're gonna die before the credits, because there was already stuff just all over the screen, and I'm like, there's a lot of things happening right now. And me as a creative, and anybody that's a creative will look at it and be like, this is a very busy screen right now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it started out and then it dialed it back, and then I knew what to expect when the chase was happening with all the Spider-Man, and somehow, some way they made it work. It kept the camera a little bit steady enough, but I was very worried about the everything. And I was like, man, if this was in 3D, I would probably have a migraine. Oh my God.
Even with go ahead.
I just wanted to mention, I feel like I also have to have a Hobie picture for the culture.
Oh yeah, definitely Hobie.
For sure. And,
oh, I thought Hobie, real talk, the way people was talking about Hobie, I was like, Hobie really stole the whole freaking movie. Without even trying. And
at first, on brand.
It's like, at first I did not understand a word that came out of that dude's mouth. I was like, dude, that accent is too thick. I need subtitles right now. I need subtitles. I had to literally wait, not even wait, because things get on the internet so damn fast. Mm-hmm. Somebody put all his scenes together and I could hear it. I could hear it a whole lot clearer about what he's saying. Like, I hate the AM, I hate the PM, I hate labels. In the movie, I could not hear what he was saying. I couldn't make it out. I was like, what does he hate?
I hate consistency. I watch a lot of British stuff, so I
can understand. See, caught it. It's like, I hate consistency, and I'm like, boom, caught that one.
Yeah.
His character was, like, really interesting, because it was, like, what did I write? Hold on. I said, Hobie constantly contradicts himself, because he's, like, hyper-individualistic, anti-anti, that has to help the group and others. Like, he's like pretending that he doesn't want to be a part of the establishment, but he wants to be a part of the group. Like, but he keeps pretending that he doesn't want to be here, but he wants to protect Miles and, like, you know, be, I don't know. It makes sense. But.
Yeah. Consistency.
He wants
consistency.
He has consistency in his inconsistency. Like, that's it's the crazy part about him. He wants to be an individual, but still in a group. But he's not one to, like, betray or stab people in the back, which I think is great. So, like, anything he doesn't want to do eventually helps people in what they're doing. And I'm like, this, he's a complex but great character. But yeah. So go back to, like, 2 points. When you were, Keith, talking about, like, there was so much going on. Even the opening with the Columbia title, with so many things just happening in that one sequence, was, I just sat there. I was like, probably doing this one thing to, like, maybe 3 months, and it was probably hell for somebody because there was a lot going on with that. And my other point where you're talking about needing subtitles for Hobie, I love that they didn't add subtitles for when Miles's mom was talking in Spanish, because mm-hmm. that's been a conversation in film for a while, that like any English film that comes out, like not everybody speaks English, but there's literally zero subtitles when you go to the movies for anything, or even people who are deaf, like subtitles are needed for all things. But if you're not going to put it in films for just even the English speaking parts, then don't put it for anybody else. When it comes to stuff that English people can't understand, English speakers can't understand. So I kind of loved it.
So. Yeah, I'd be getting that, but I'd be like, dang, I
want to
know what they're saying though.
I feel out of the loop, and I'm like, man, I only took Spanish 1 in high school, man.
I took Spanish for 4 years, but I still
don't be understanding. Like, they do a good job of using like context clues. Like you can just assume whatever Miles's mom is saying is either like he's getting on him for not having his grades together or something, or like it's just an endearing thing of like, I love you, be careful, whatever it is.
Because black people do be on social media like, I ain't understand what she said, but I understood what she said.
Exactly.
Like, when it's a gesture, Hispanic mom.
Something. Yeah. Exactly.
I really just can't get over it. It was like the details in certain pieces of animation. It's almost like they really was like, we just gonna go balls to the wall, just have fun and be creative with these ideas. Like, who would think that the little mannerism of a snap and have the Puerto Rican flag pop up kind of thing? Like, who would think to just add that little Puerto Rican flag in there? I was like, I love that energy in that. It's just one, I would have never would have thought to just Puerto Rican flag, like, just to really put the emphasis on, like, I'm serious. Like, what are you talking about? And it's
Puerto Ricanly.
Yeah, you know, like, just boom, snap, everything. And I'm just like, I love it. And the whole vulture thing, like, God, Lord, that whole vulture thing. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, this man is 2D Pyrus cut out. And he's mixed in with everything else. The composition, oh my God, the composition editing team. Probably is.
Man, I seen they be talking about the technical director. They be talking about the scenes on LinkedIn and stuff.
Man, I couldn't imagine I couldn't imagine what they went through to try to figure that mess out. Like,
applaud to all of them.
Yes, applaud to all of them, because it's like the stuff that they just threw on screen together. It has to be the same team that worked on Gumball.
Like, oh my gosh.
It had to be whoever worked on Gumball definitely was on retainer with this, because Gumball, people who have watched Gumball probably watch it obviously for the funny nature and the writing and everything is funny. But from an animator's perspective, like, we actually throw Gumball on the screen in school and everything, because it's like, this is actually extremely hard to do, to throw all these different mediums together.
Yeah.
And everything, and people won't realize it. It's like, yo, this actually takes a long time to do. And for Spider-Verse to just up to ante from Into the Spider-Verse to this, to like throwing in like the vulture and throwing in what even actually that wouldn't have been too hard on that one, throwing in the original Spider-Man cartoon with the one frame swing. It ain't too hard to do that part. But it's like everything on that screen had to be animated. Whether it's animated with one person or a person that was dedicated to it, or using some type of physics. What is it? It's something that you can do where you can put a certain animation to multiple models. I forgot what it's called. But it's but either way, it's just everything on that screen. I was just sitting there, just amazed and just inspired. Just, oh my God. I hit a couple of people up. I'm like, Across the Spider-Verse is the reason. It's just the reason why. It's the reason why we do. It's the reason.
For you to mention, you mentioned Spider-Man, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember the scene of all the Spider-Mans pointing to each other, and I was like, how many memes or like things that I miss? Because I know when the black little kid, which I don't imagine black little kids would lick the glass, but hey, diversity. But I feel like that is based on a real like meme of the little girl looking in the glass while her father is like on a Zoom meeting. So I'm like, dang, I wonder how many memes or like social media videos did I miss being like called in the movie, because I only remember those two.
There's I think someone pointed out how Hovey and Puff, their little handshake kind of concept thing was from, I think, LeBron and somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a basketball reference. I wouldn't have known that either.
I didn't know either. So they put the videos together, and I was like, holy.
Right.
It's just like, even the things you don't think about. It's like reference, mm-hmm. message.
So I got a couple questions and a comment, but I'll just do one by one. How did Jess Drew get too close to someone and get over it if she's married and pregnant? I didn't understand that line. Because she was talking to Gwen about kind of getting over Miles, and she's like, yeah, I got too close to someone and then I got over it. But I'm like, you a whole married woman, though, with a baby. Like,
That might not be the husband's baby.
She could be lying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She could be lying.
But I feel like she was trying to encourage, you know, Gwen to, like, just separate. And I guess, is it because it's Miles, or is it because it's not because it's a dude, it's because it's Miles, right?
Probably because she's trying to put the multiverse over one person kind of thing. Because at the end of the day, we know that Drew has second thoughts about a lot of things happening towards the end. We know that she's going to turn cold real quick in the third movie. We know that. But we also know that at the beginning, she's pretty much, I can't speak on being a black woman. I can only speak on being a black man. Mm-hmm. But when you are in a occupation of some sort and you're up there, mm-hmm. like right-hand man, right-hand woman or whatever, you're going to follow the rules or whatever the case may be, especially if it's something
to follow the rules to get there in the first place.
Yeah, to get there. And also you're going to have to be a bit cutthroat in the way you do these rules, because at the end of the day, something is at stake. In this case, it is the multiverse. As far as you know, it is the multiverse. So it's not just, oh, this is some girl's crush that I'm just going to let slide. It's like, yo, if I let you go through with this mess, not only would you possibly doom him, you're dooming everybody, including the people I care about. So I have to be a bit cold on these things, probably be a bit cold on possibly with the whole baby situation. We don't know what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. Got to be cold about that, because it's not about me. It's the universe's kind of thing. So I think she really probably did want to be cool with Miles, or, you know, I think she really probably wanted to, but she, when you get to a certain level and being a black woman, being a black man or a person of color that been through all the stripes to get to these points or go through different battles, mm-hmm. you tend to be a lot more cutthroat with things, because, you know, hey, I had to fight to get to this point and everything, and I'm not about to lose it over your foolishness or whatever the case may be, because you can't act right. Because you can't see logic or whatever the case may be and everything. Like, I don't know. Maybe
if I was the character she was talking to, I'd have been a comic relief in that movie. Because if she had said that line to me, I'm like, you a whole married woman with a baby. Don't even.
The whole time I would have pointed right at the baby bump. I'd have been like.
But wait. After seeing it a second time, now that you said something, her demeanor kind of changed when she met Miles, or like after whatever time frame was in between she met Gwen versus when we saw her again, when she was talking to Gwen about being in Miles's universe, she seemed a little different. Like, she seemed happy to talk about her husband, you know, oh, you know, we're waiting for the baby, blah, blah, blah. She was laughing, smiling. But then by the time they asked her, you know, what about you? She was like, well, I got over it. But she's been kind of monotone and still face and kind of dead ever since that time. So I don't know if her canon event happened or something happened in that month time frame, whatever the time frame was.
Because
she seemed more like she was annoyed with Peter, same way Miguel was, but she was like more like Miguel than she was before, because she was very empathetic about Gwen and caring, and she was like oh, you were my star pupil, blah, blah, blah. Like, she was getting more upset with her the more Gwen was around Miles, because it seemed like she's going through the same situation.
You're right. Maybe her husband probably died, or maybe they broke up or some mess. You're right. That probably could be it, because even people compared Penny from the first movie, the little 2D girl. She was all happy, whatever the case may be. Of course, her spider bot thing did die, but she still kept the spider, and she seemed to be okay. But a lot of people are saying that the reason why she looks so depressed in this one is because maybe her canon stuff has happened. Yeah. And they say that her canon stuff is like bad, like gruesome bad. Like, so pretty much, I think, well, that's what, like I said, goes back to the beginning when I said that pretty much everybody went through their canon events besides Spider-Man and Indian Spider-Man. He was the only other one that did, and Gwen, but Gwen knew what was going to happen. He didn't. He was saying, I can do both. And the whole time I'm like, no, you can't. And then when Miles saved him, I was like, even I thought about it before it actually showed up on the screen. I'm like, that's not supposed to happen. As soon as you said being Spider-Man was easy, I was like, oh, hell nah. You knew, buddy. You new to this game. You definitely knew. Yeah. Like, not just being 6 months. I'm like, dude, you supposed to get your first tragedy, like, day six. Like, Uncle whoever, your auntie that you be drinking tea with, she was supposed to die like day six. Mm-hmm. And the captain was supposed to be your second one. You supposed to be a whole lot more sad. You too happy swinging around on your yo-yo thing. Like, you too way too happy.
Right. Did Peter B. Parker have a captain die? Or were they just saying he just had his event, which was Uncle Ben?
You gotta understand, when we saw was in the first movie, he went through the gauntlet. That man was crying in the shower with his cops, with his uniform on.
I mean, because Mary J. left him. It wasn't like, she didn't die, but she also came back.
But it's not just that she left. It's just that his Aunt May passed away. Uncle Ben was on the race. Aunt May's gone. Uncle Ben is gone.
Ignore my question.
Yeah. I was like, then his wife separated. This man has gotten fat. This man is getting beat up. Yeah. He's crying in showers. That man... He doesn't need no more canon events.
Yeah, because I was trying to say, like, I was trying to see why Peter wasn't as devastated as everyone else, even though he had a hard life. I was trying to figure out why. I'm sure it's because the baby is the light.
It's her sunshine. Like, and right. His wife came back, so.
Right, so out of all the bad stuff, like, all the good stuff is happening to him. So I was like, I'm trying to figure out why he was so in this in-between space instead of, like, oh, all this stuff happened to us, so you it has to happen to you or something.
Do you
like
think
that,
he accidentally brought all the Spider-Men to Miles or on purpose?
I think it was real accident. I really do think he wasn't trying to hold Miles there, because let's be honest. Well, no, we don't know that. I was about to say that Peter B, if he was really trying, he could hold Miles down if he wanted to. But I honestly do believe he really wanted to say those things to Miles, because he's like, yo, she exists. This pride and joy that I am literally showing in front of you, but yet will still give you pictures on my phone, is here because of my relationship with you. My time with you made me feel like I was ready for this. And they just tracked him. I really don't believe Peter B meant to do that. I really don't believe
that. Not at all. I
think that was just a thing. That was a coincidence on that.
Because he saw him, he saw Miles break that web from Gwen, and I'm sure he realized how hurt he was, and he probably wanted to make up for the stuff that he did. Just trying to talk him into, like, hey, Miguel is actually psycho. You should probably just kind of surrender. But then at the same time, he saw Miles was just, like, independent, doing this and the third, and saw that, like, he was inspired by Miles for a reason. And then he forgot the tracker was that he lost the sense of time. He was like, I'm talking to someone who inspired me to have my child. He's also my other son. Like, forget being a mentor. He should have just said, you're like a son to me, basically. Yeah. And yeah, I just think it was an accident.
Yeah.
Speaking of being a son, my other question, do you think Miles will tell his real parents that he's Spider-Man in the next movie?
For sure.
I think so. I don't think it's going to be as heartfelt, I guess, with his 42 moms and everything, but I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot more cut to the cape, cut to the chase, because it's just like, the last time I did this, I was in a whole other universe, right, and I had to fight my evil twin and everything, so we're just going to cut to the chase on this one. The question I have is, how are they going to react? Because the mother, especially Mia, she's definitely more helicopter than his father is. His father just doesn't want him to screw it up. Cause it's just like any father that sees something in his son, especially I see that you can be better than me. And you're already smarter than me. You can go so much further than me. I am about to be a captain in a freaking police department. You're talking about doing dimensional travel. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You could be so much better than me. As he say, I see this spark in you and it's amazing. That's all he wants. He just wants his son to be just whatever. Just be great. Mm-hmm. And everything. So, but Mia, she's like, yo, my boy's growing up. Like any mother's
that,
like.
That helicopter piece is definitely a particular stereotype of Hispanic families. Cause I saw that when I went to college, when they was dropping off some of them, children, they didn't, like I did a 2-week, pre-freshman, program at my university. And some of them was like, got to the door and then couldn't leave and went home with their parents. I was like, oh, Hispanic people be for real family, like,
bruh, they be staying in, they got two families staying in one big old house kind of thing, and I'm just like,
loving each other.
When I was delivering pizza and stuff, and I saw that, I was like, whole time in my head, I'm like, we don't do that, like, we need our own space kind of thing, we kicking we kicking people out at 18, hell, sometimes 17. It's like, look, what you doing? You either going to school, you going to sign your name to Uncle Sam or whatever. What you doing? Find out what you 18. Figure it out.
It's crazy. There's actually a lot of like, I need to stay home black people. Like, at least I'm from the Midwest and that's a lot of them. But in general, people are just scared to leave home. But, or it's, they don't want to leave their family because their family's scared of them leaving home. But,
I'm from Michigan. My twin brother went back home and my father allowed it.
Nice. From Indiana. And my parents were ready for us to go, though. But my parents were from the South. They were like, y'all need to expand your wings. Do not stay here. All like this other stuff. Like this. But to answer your other question, I think, though, Miles' identity is going to be revealed by the moment. By, like, whether Spot's like, out loud, hey, I'm going to kill your father, and they're all going to be like, father, oh my gosh, Miles, or like the mask will come off or it'll rip, or I don't think I'll have the chance to actually say it. I think it'll just be due to circumstance or like panicking or something like that. His father will probably fall, or his mom, whoever is going to fall, he's going to yell out, mom, dad, something like that.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to die in the comics. Spoilers. But in the comics, it's the mother that dies. And the way they setting it up with these dialogues and everything, it's like they're leaning us to be like, oh, it's Captain Stacy, it's the captain that's gotta die. But it's the mom that dies in the comics. So if they wanna throw that little switcheroo kind of thing in there, having us thinking, oh, it's the father that's gonna die.
I mean, that's smart, because like somebody I was talking to in the Facebook group where we watch movies, he was like, yeah, they've been sticking close to the comics, so.
Yeah, I saw images, I think, a week after I saw the movie the first time, and it was like, oh, here's Rio dead. I was like, why would you tell me this? Like, I don't want her to die. But people were also pointing out that, like, she was getting a lot of screen time, and it's like, you still see, even from the first movie, you could tell he had a closer relationship with his mom in general. And the movies have been about building relationship with fathers from everybody's standpoint. And so it's like him, again, going back to, you know, something in the future is going to happen. So you trying to prevent it could either make it happen still, or it'll affect something else. So it's like him saving his father will most likely end up being his mom dying, or like in Pav's world, he had the option either save the captain or his girlfriend, and it might be that same situation with Miles. Save your mom or your dad.
If they do kill the moms off, all I ask, in any of my heroes, no matter if it's comic book related, anime related, live action, I need a true snap. I need a true snap moment. I need a true pissed off hero moment. Everybody, it's like every hero has always got this like this nice thing going about him. I'm like, nope. Fear the gentleman. I need that snap. And if moms dies, especially if Spot does it directly, I need to see Miles snap. I need to see electric Kamehameha waves. I need to see it all. I need to see it all. I want to see it all. And then, of course, Gwen or somebody stops him from actually doing the killing blow.
Boo.
But, you know, we know how we got to do this. You know, you can't have heroes full on killing people. So, whatever. But that's what I want to see. I want to see that.
I agree. Because, yeah, they'll give their moments of, like, them crying. But also, like, they try to show that superheroes can, like, separate emotion from what's happening. Like, they need a quick second to, like, get their shit back together to save the world. Like, yeah, my personal loved one just died. But, like, hundreds of other people about to die if I don't get my shit together. And that sucks. Like, they don't get to be human even in that moment of humanity. Like, they might be a superhero, but you're still literally a human being at this point. So he definitely needs to wild out if Rio dies in that moment. So I hope he needs to do something.
As creative people, I definitely wanted to have this piece of the conversation where the teenage animator got to do the Lego scene, so like the benefit of like putting yourself out there to get opportunities. What do y'all think about that?
I'm jealous. I mean, of course, I'm absolutely all full on, like, proud of that young creative man, that young creative black man. I am very, very proud of that he got that opportunity, that he put himself out there and then everything, because it kind of makes me think back to when Spider-Verse first came out. And I wanted to do, when everybody first did their spider sonas, and I put it out there, I'm like, hey, I would do like, you know, like a simple animation of everybody's stuff and everything. Cause at that time, the theme was anybody can wear the mask.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about doing like animations of like everybody's spider sonas, either swinging or running through the rooftops or whatever the case may be. And like everybody get their feature and whatnot. And I was going to do it for like, you know, certain amount of money a pop and all that. But, that was my original idea about things, but never got around to do it. Didn't have any takers like that. But this young man, he did his own thing. He's just like, I saw a trailer, did a Lego animation, and they actually, and good on Sony or good on the team to track him down and be like, hey, do this. I'm like, can you imagine that resume?
Not like, even that. It's like, it's great that they were so open to let so many people be a part of it. Like, even if it was for a quick storyboard moment or like a quick draw up, something like that. I don't know the term, sorry. But anything like that, there were so many just like artists that I follow that were helping with like, character concepts or even doing the outfits or costumes or whoever, wherever, whenever. And even though it was like a small portion in the film, like that's a big moment for them to even be a part of it. Like, there's so many names in the credits in general, and like Sony and whoever else being open to doing that for anybody at any age, probably any level of artistic ability, is a great thing. So
yeah.
Anybody
else have any final thoughts? Like, one more thing I had was...
One more thing. Not question, Uncle.
In other universes, Gwen, Stacy, and Spider-Man never end well, but that's people in the same universe. So is it the same for people from two different dimensions? Could they relationship work out?
No.
She just don't like Gwen. She doesn't like Gwen, but she needs to accept the fact that Miles got jungle fever and Gwen got jungle fever, so just accept the fact.
She's
She looked at her face. She just like, I mean, come on now. Come on now. Once she went, look, once Peter passed away, man, she been dealing with nothing but black people. So let's, Hobie and Miles. She been dealing with nothing but Hobie and Miles. Come on now.
She might be on her Miley Cyrus, though.
She didn't get to grieve Peter, so she's using Miles as a scapegoat. How about that?
That's she might be on her Miley Cyrus King.
I mean, yeah.
Using
yeah.
the community.
Hey, look.
Until she won't be white again.
Hey, look. All I know is that Miles is that man. I was like, bro, I ain't gonna say you down bad, but the amount of artwork you drew of Gwen, like,
it's questionable.
Like, I would have been like, I would have felt so embarrassed. If a girl that I liked saw a bunch of drawings that I did of her, I'd have been like, please don't think I'm creepy. Please don't think I'm creepy. Please don't.
You're a creep.
And he put her on the mural twice.
Right.
Twice. Like, if you put up there one.
Uncle Aaron.
And he put, she's up there, and then in the back, you see on the other side. I was like, dude, not twice. I'm like, bro, keep that in your sketchbook, man. Don't put that out for the world to see.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But I think it's going to work just weirdly fine or whatever the case may be. I mean, because you think about it, when she said every other universe doesn't end well, I'm like, wait, so you saw your back get snapped and everything? I mean, I'm just saying, in every other one, you died, but you weren't a spider person in all the other ones when it didn't work out. So you're a spider person. So I think you can take care of yourself. She'd be fine.
Right. And you know what's crazy? When they all walked into the spider society, every Peter Parker said what's up to her. They didn't say what's up to anybody else in that room. But she has so many Peters to befriend and get a little crush on, if anything. But no, she wants to sit and drag Miles along, knowing good and well that boy likes her.
Are you calling Gwen a 304?
I ain't calling her nothing. I'm just saying she has options and she's choosing to play games with Miles. And it's disrespectful to me and my homegirls. So,
listen.
You can't go to Bella
Noche. I look at it as like you said, she had all the Peters in the freaking world, all these Peters. She only want Miles or Hobie. She only wants, I mean, look, as soon as Miles and Spider Bite had that little spider tingle and everything, she pulled him away. She pulled him away easily. Like,
she really, did. She was like, nah, let's go. So quick. Don't be jealous now because he wanted to hide Hobie from him. Because Pop was like, oh, you didn't tell him about Hobie? Like,
wait, he doesn't know.
Spending the night bags and your toothbrush. What?
And Hobie ain't hiding nothing. He was like, so how many missions y'all went on? Only a couple, few dozen.
She lying to his face with Hobie there.
And Hobie like few dozen. Hobie ain't hiding nothing from Buddy.
She's not hiding nothing. Gwen is lying for what?
He's like, yo, she got on my chucks. Like, are those my chucks?
Chucks, different sweaters. Like, come on now. Come on now.
Calling Miles' moms and dad by the first name. That right there, I was like, ooh. I was like, you could at least say Miss Morales, Mr. Morales.
That's
like,
a great cultural moment that we all.
Yes.
I love that bonding moment that
we. Look, we all were sitting in the audience like,
We all said, ooh.
We all
could at least be like Mr. First Name, Mr. Left.
Something.
Something.
Because I surely would have been like, girl, you are already two strikes behind the bat right now.
Exactly.
I was like, you batting from behind right now. Ooh, boy.
I would want to see Spider-Bite and Miles, because that instant karma that they had,
it won't happen.
Don't do that. Don't tell me that. Because
I'm looking at it from a story standpoint. You don't have time for it. They have so much stuff they got to do on Beyond the Spider-Verse. There is no time for a freaking
I want to see it like actually play out in the movie. I just want there to be like subliminal messages, like something, like some eye contact. I'm like, when they get near each other, the little tingles happen. Because, you know, they're cute together, but whatever.
You don't even know how old Spider Bite is.
They can't. Miles is like 15. She's probably the same age. You don't know. Gwen looks like she can vote, is what his mama said. So she's too old for him.
When she said that, I was like, oh my God, come on. Gwen is only a few months older than she moms.
Oh, she don't know that, but hey, they can't let two black people be like together.
Milk. Huh?
Right.
You're already aging like milk.
Yeah, stop that.
It's fine. It's whatever. I won't get my dreams answered, but it's okay. I just have to go to fan fiction.
Yeah, go to your fanfics.
And they just gonna have to be like, oh, you went out on a date with Spider-Pike that one time.
I saw a comic where they had Penny going out on a date with Miles and trying to say like, oh yeah, because you broke up with Miles or whatever. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, and I'm sitting here like,
How old is Penny?
Penny? I don't know, because Penny, obviously she looks younger because she's shorter. Yeah. So we don't know. It's like, you know, over there across seas, it's like they always do the look younger, but actually 300 years old elf. It's like when people be talking, I'm like, look, man, I don't agree with it. That's the script. All right. That's the script.
Someone mentioned they can't wait to see the chaos between Hobie and Spider-Noir. And I'm like, like good chaos, but like their dialogue is just going to be ridiculous.
That's actually a good point. Can you imagine the dialogue section of just everybody in a room together? It probably going to take about a good 2-3 minutes probably of just that. And I'm just like, if they could time it just right and then move on with the plot, I'll be happy.
It'll be a good time. It'll
be masterful writing.
Yeah.
If they can pull it off.
What did you say?
I said if they can pull it off, because even though we know that it's coming out in less than a year, that means that pretty far as I know, in production wise, writing should be done and they should be pretty much in the beginning final stages of a lot of the animation and rendering times right now. They should be like for pretty much getting the polishing down for a lot of the scenes.
They don't do no ADR because SAG's on strike.
That's another thing too.
So
there's an article about an animator saying it probably won't be done by next year. Makes sense. But yeah, I think we're going to hope for the best, but I a little bit of me believes that it won't be done by next year.
And that's when I get that tug. Cause I'm just like, look, I understand why y'all strike it, but can y'all just like,
get your
money for your bills, take care of Spider-Verse, and then go back on strike.
Part of the reason that HBO Max switched to Max was because it also went from a TV channel to a streaming service, so now they don't get residuals anymore for that stuff.
Yeah, and now they're trying to renegotiate so they can get the residuals off of that. And it's honestly, that always amazed me about when it comes to the actual contracts and things, because I'm thinking, as a writer, I'm confusing writing for movies and writing for music. Mm-hmm. Writing for music, as far as I know, contract-wise, you're getting those residuals because you wrote it. Getting something out of it. Shows, apparently not. You get your upfront check, and probably a big check or a little check, but you're getting your upfront check, and then it's whatever. When everything gets to streaming happening, you ain't getting nothing off of the streaming of what you wrote.
Like the music industry is the NBA contract and the streaming is the NFL contract.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. You get incentives. Incentives over anything. So, more power to them and everything.
They're always trying to create great vehicles to get more money that they don't need.
Yeah.
Because they're greedy and then they lifestyle or whatever, because we over there looking like, dude, how the hell are you running through $3 million in a month? Like, what are you doing with it? Like, you don't need to do all that. But they got to live that lifestyle and everything. And of course, we can't, course, like I said, you can't speak on it, you don't live it. I'm like, give me a chance. I'll prove you wrong. let's do a theory. Let's do a theory to see if I'd run through $3 million in a month. Mm-hmm. See what happens.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Dividends is the lifestyle. All right, I guess the last question I may have is, I know we probably already said what we probably thinking about with the next movie and everything, but if you could, what's that one thing besides that spider bite and Miles having their little tingle moment, what's the one thing that you want to see in the last movie?
I know we got a lot of him, but I want to see more of Miguel, like, who he really is outside of this whole let's stop Miles concept. Like, I want to see if he'll see the light, like, while he's fighting Spot or something, or like if his danger Spidey senses will tingle when Miles's mom or dad is in danger and he'll actually save them. Like, will he be the thing he's trying to stop, if that makes sense? Like, will he turn into how Miles was saving Pav's storyline or whatever? Will Miguel do the same thing? If, you know, following actual comic book stuff, but like, will, is Miguel going to be nice? Or will he have sympathy or empathy?
Yeah, for me, I don't watch the comic book, so I don't know what to expect, so I can mm-hmm. just make up stuff, but it would be cool to see Miles go to college.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe fall in love with Black Woman.
Exactly. That's the thing. They, you know, people don't put yep. black couples together no more, and that's a real problem. But
in the currently in the comics, he's actually, as far as I know, I don't read, I just watch. Uh-huh. But I think he's with a Black woman, superhero, or Hawk woman kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's got like a Hawk woman kind of vibe, Hawk, Iron Man kind of vibe going on. And she's being a Black woman, being very direct on some things. She's definitely now, because it was something she was saying, like, yo, you need to get your shit together, kind of like figure out what we're doing. And I'm just like, there it is right there. I was like, they just let a Black woman write that one line right there. They just like, you right here, what would you say in that moment? And yeah, what I would like to see is pretty much what I said earlier. I want to see Miles snap. I want to see him snap, because if one of those parents, whether it's his mother or his father, and Spot is the reason for it, I need to see him snap. I need to see him, like, unleash all rage. And I'm just saying, I need him to go buck wild and everything, and probably roast the hell out of him in the process, but mm-hmm. that's asking for too much and everything. The only person or the only hero that I've seen that did some type of roasting that actually got under the villain's skin was in Batman Beyond's movie. Mm-hmm. So I know Miles ain't going to have it like that, man. He ain't going to, because he got too much of an attachment with it and everything. Miles would be like, you just killed my mom. You just killed my dad. Ain't no more talking. I'm just throwing blows right now. I'm throwing electricity bolts, throwing blows and throwing cars and throwing everything at you. And if I could get a gun, I'd probably shoot you. It ain't going to do nothing, because the portal's going to take it everywhere.
At least they could have made him a piano player. Because how is it natural to put your fingertips on something? Everybody be doing this. Why would you have to tell him to do this?
Yeah, well, he did that. He's like, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, another thing about Hobie before we leave. I love that Hobie is an understated genius. My man's just...
He's an enabler.
He's an actual genius, just like any other Peter Parker, any other Spider-Man. He's an actual genius. He just doesn't flaunt it. Our man is literally picking stuff off of walls and made a damn, teleporter thing. It made a portal wrist. Just
yeah.
And I was like, I love that he's a genius, but we just see it. It's just like, it's just natural to him that it's like, dude, I got this, and you over here filling your thumbs in your universe, trying to be like, I want to go to Princeton so I can. They're studying dimensional travel, and they over here, you can build it yourself. He said, build your own watch. He said, build your own watch.
Right.
He's like, dude, you got to go to Princeton.
You have all of the resources right here. Just take it.
It's like,
he's definitely one of those characters where it's like, you know, what we deal with in the workplace, where it's like, how did you get here? But he actually smart enough to get here, but you just, his outward appearance doesn't look like he's smart enough.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it was like a bunch of white spider people, like, how did you get here?
Exactly.
Just like,
use your resources. Than y'all
actually. Yeah, I just don't bother with the certain things. I just do things a simple way. Like, I bet, like, taking stuff and putting together, like, I bet it don't even do nothing. Or this, or that. Just taking stuff. Just whatever.
Right, because they're all, most Peters, aren't they some all, form of a scientist?
All of, yeah, all of them are geniuses. Exactly. Every last Spider-Man is a genius in some fashion. Like, most of them make their own web fluid. Last I checked, nobody in our world has made any damn web fluid that could do what it does. So yeah, they're all geniuses. Every last one.
Miles is just a designer. He made his own outfit and that was it.
With bleeding armpits.
With your theory or your want to see Miles go off on Spot, I want to see like a good fight. Like, I'm such a villain person. I love rooting for villains. They're great pieces to the story. But
you're mean.
You said what?
Because you're a meanie.
I'm not mean. I just think.
Do you got the Target villain shirt?
A what?
At Target, they got the villain shirt.
Oh no, I would never tell the world I'm a villain. They just have to figure it out. But
I'm exposing you.
No, like they just they're just great. But I want to see more from Spot. Like, he did all of this stuff in this movie to become powerful and stuff. Like, I really want to see a good fight between Miles and Spot. Like, there's so many characters and you know they're gonna throw in Gwen and them helping her, yada yada yada, but like, it's still Miles' story. Like, I don't want a multi-person fight scene. Like, I need a strong 5, even 10 minutes. It's probably really long in an animation, but just between Miles and Spot, like, whether they go off somewhere, they fall in the ground, and it's just cut, 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 something. Like, I don't know. I just want to see more from the villain. The villain makes the story. There would be no heroes without villains.
All right, well, I want to thank y'all for sitting down and chatting with me to talk about Across the Spider-Verse. If y'all want to be followed on social media, you can say that your stuff right now.
Go ahead, Lex.
My tag on Instagram is _naturalartist_. Yeah.
And once again, my Instagram or social media handles is Artistic Insanity, but with an E at the end, not a Y.
Mine is Blackman, BLKWMN Animator, all one word. And I want y'all to like so I know it's real. Comment and tell me how you feel. Subscribe to Citadel and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal. And I'll see you in the next video. Peace.